Hello and welcome to Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. Today on the program, we take a look at the evolving magazine scene in China, with traditional newsstands disappearing. So, is there a future for so many publications on the Chinese market? Xinyuan Wang looks at the political content that is permitted in magazines, on which subjects are considered sensitive, and what they're trying to do to attract younger readers. She asked many younger readers how they search for material on political topics and discovers that magazines are unlikely to be their first choice.
The magazine stands in China are crowded with new publications every month. But what are Chinese people reading and why?
CBN Weekly, Chinese edition. That's the one that I read every, like almost from day to day.
Oh, I love this one. Fashion magazines.
Oh, yeah, fashion.
I pretty much read every single page of the magazine.
Not only magazine, I think everything happening in China reflects the new China.
In front of the one of the magazine stands, and on both sides there's a display of altogether around 100 different magazines, and on my right there's all the magazines about like fashion and also the news like News Weekly and some like political report.
杂志什么杂志是时尚类还是什么？最卖的最好的是哪一类？时尚类杂志了。时尚类杂志.
So she says the best seller is always something about fashion. It's actually the main customer, they come from like 30 years plus.
年轻人不买报纸,都手机看报纸了,对吧?现在年轻人不买报纸了,都手机。
So she said like definitely changed a lot, and before people came for newspaper and things, but now once you have smartphone, nobody come to newspaper and magazine, especially young people.
对,我们现在报亭不是关了很多嘛,都主要是因为现在开不下去。
So it's actually a very difficult time for those physical magazine stands because they have to close down. Many of them have to close down because they know people. She hoped that there was some way, some solution that this very traditional physical magazine stand will exist in Shanghai.
So is there any future for magazines in China? I'm going to talk to readers of all generations, as well as the editors and journalists who are facing new challenges.
401, 401, 对，开个门。喂，开个门。
I've come to visit a couple in Shanghai with a young baby, a typical middle-class family, with both parents working and facing the issues of bringing up a child in the city. They are looking at the magazine 南方周末, that's targeting their needs and interests.
但是我在生一胎之前，就是有去看，就是如果是剖宫产的话，会有什么样的一些风险啊，或者是什么样的状况这样。
So basically, this is that the topic actually is very children-orientated. For example, like this one is about second child, and also the education in general, and also housing is a very hot topic. People are concerned about where they can buy their flat or rent their flat, because then that will decide whether they can send their children to the good primary school, middle school, etc. So all in all, it's all about the next generation. That will be the most popular topic in Shanghai.
还有就是我觉得我们即使可能从经济层面上来说未必算得上中产阶级。
That's really interesting. Zizi told me that even strictly speaking, in terms of year's income, she don't think she really account as like middle class, because middle class earns certain amount of money and not everybody can reach that amount of money. But more and more people, including more and more her friends, regard themselves as middle class in terms terms of high education received and the awareness of citizenship. And in that perspective, they really think they are middle class. And for those magazines actually suit that purpose very well, because they will report, like, as a topic about, for example, a marathon, like you train yourself and run for hours. That kind of thing is typical middle class behavior. So people would go for run, not because they really love running, but they want to see themselves as middle class. So, and this magazine will give very in-depth discussion about the nuance between the certain kind of behavior and being middle class.
But what about readers who haven't reached this stage of life? I'm going to talk to a different generation, the young, ambitious workers in Guangzhou, one of the top business cities in the country.
It's a very energetic and a very rich place. There are a lot of young generation to work here and want to earn high salary to raise themselves and have a promising future here. So it's a place with hope and energetic, yeah.
Here, many of them are in their 20s and have no children. Over their busy lunch break, we ask them what they think of the family-orientated magazines.
This is about have a second baby, are you ready? I was like, I don't even have a husband, I'm not ready. So I won't read it.
Nowadays, young people are preferred online magazine or online news, and it's totally free, but the magazines, we need to pay for it. But the information we can get is the same with the online magazine or online paper.
In China, if we want to get a information of some certain subject, we usually go to the cell phone.
So there's not much interest in printed versions here. Everything is going online. Clark explains how he reads magazines on WeChat, the social media app.
They have this WeChat public account where they will post. They will not post everything there, but they will select some of the key articles from that magazine on their public account and then push that for free. And then I realized I don't have to buy the magazine myself, I can just read through, because I don't really need to look at all of the magazine, I only need to just try to understand the key, like the hot topics.
其实我觉得我从我个人来讲，包括我们这个团队哈，我觉得没有找到一条非常好的。
In Shanghai, Ms. Chen is the vice chief editor of CBN Weekly, a magazine that targets young business professionals like those in Guangzhou. She explains that her magazine must keep pace with technology and the new ways that Chinese people want to get information.
Of course, they will put more effort on the online part, because of course it's very clear that if you only rely on the paper-based magazine, the future will be not so bright.
They think it's time to think about to keep a relationship with readers, because before the main media, they just like sell the magazine and that's it. Yes. But now you really have to keep some two-way communication with readers so that you can keep your readers. It's not just the selling magazine. So that is probably the plan, the long-term plan. But anyway, it's very difficult to survive in this digital age.
So how has the content of magazines changed in recent years? Journalist Mandy Lee has worked on traditional magazines and new media, and she's seen a move away from the areas seen as controversial in China.
Before we graduated, it's political. Most of them will be about politicals and also the sensitive subjects about the economy and the business.
I've come to see Mr. Zhang, a retired journalist in Shanghai. In his career over 30 years, he told me how he had witnessed the development of the media in China. He studied on the magazine in a factory, which was really a propaganda for the Communist Party, as were all the publications at that time. During the economic reforms, he helped to set up a new magazine, but was faced
with challenges.
He was one of the co-founders of the magazine called The Bond. So The Bond used to be, nowadays is more like fashion magazine, but when it's first established, it's more about political editorial, so focus on topics. And the reason he left The Bond because some political sensitive things happened and he realized maybe it's not where he can take the full social responsibility as the journalist. So that's the reason he left The Bond.
But Mandy believes people's attitudes have changed.
People don't care. People don't care anymore. So I think they are losing their voice. Although, on the other hand, people still kind of respect them, but they don't read them.
They have a lot of types of magazines, but I don't read like economic magazines or politic magazines. I think that's a lot of things to know from them, but you know, it's all censored. So I don't know how many information you can get from there or whether it's altered. So you have to really find out.
So instead of relying on magazines, many Chinese professionals have been using VPNs, or virtual personal networks, to access the wider internet.
Basically, if I want to get some information like that, I will go to the internet, I will go to the Google.
Here they can get information that's not available in China. However, the government is now trying to restrict the use of VPNs, and it may become much more difficult in the future.
I will skip the wall, you know, the wall the Chinese government set for all the internet server. So I will use some app to skip the wall and get a message on the internet, on YouTube, on Google, or something like that, because it's quite fresh news than the magazines.
I think it's very true because, you know, YouTube and Facebook are blocked in China, so we all have VPNs. We have more opportunities to know other things, to know the real other things, which is good. It's not changed or altered by Chinese government or other things. It's closer to the truth.
I'm going to meet Ms. Kwan, the chief editor and founder of the publication Urban China. He's confident that his magazine can offer a valuable resource for those living in cities and give people the chance to get involved with local issues.
He thinks there must be something missing. There's something between the fashion and professional. So it's like some magazine allowed people to care about the very severe, serious issues about urban China, but not necessarily to be too academic and very accessible language. So we should take our social responsibility. Let's talk about some hot issues, the hot topics in contemporary China. This one is about the urban transformations, and this is about social housing. So they're really very open-minded. They have no problem touching some sensitive problems of urban development. So actually, it's not like always about political correct or not. It's actually they want to this magazine to be represents the concern about the current problem. So it's always problem orientated. For example, one of the issues talking about the Chinese style of building a city, and they criticize a lot because the speed is too fast. So as a result, many new cities become ghost city because nobody lives there, because they're just empty buildings. So they criticize a lot of the problems in the process of urbanization, and he thinks that's totally healthy because that is good for China. And he thinks the atmosphere for those take the responsibility and you do your constructive criticism, that is always good and is actually welcomed by the Chinese government. I'm with Yiming, a typical student reader. She has found that, for her studies, there are magazines in China which have a lot to offer.
So she just gave me a very good example of the reading experience of the magazine called South Weekly, Nanfang Zhoumo. Rather than just reporting the news, they will invite different specialists come from the sociology or laws to analyze the different layers of argument behind the news. And actually, that is very helpful for students who were interested in sociology or philosophy or laws, because it showed her how you can use theory and apply theory to understand the modern society.
But she's honest about what interests her.
And for so many other young Chinese people, there's one topic which is really important to them.
So when she came to Shanghai, then it's become mainly fashion magazine, because it's really the right place to read fashion magazine, because Shanghai itself is regarded as the city of fashion. So she think she was kind of influenced by the atmosphere of where she studied and lived. So fashion magazine become the main one on the reading list.
Mainland China, the market is several billion RMBs. So in terms of US dollars, 1 or 2 billion, yeah, that's the market.
L'Officio is one of the leading fashion magazines in China. Annie works with a young and energetic production team.
10 years ago, if the magazines published the stories about these big brands, readers loved to read them and they would love to buy. But now the new generation readers, they are less interested in the big brands. They are more interested in the individual unique brands. So it's harder for us to target the right readers. So it's more challenging to us. I think that the whole society, the change of the culture, the change of the consumption habits all drive the big change in terms of these publications and even the fashion industry itself. Also, the new generation, they are from better off families. They have enough money, so they are well traveled. Most of them are educated abroad, so they are very selective or picky. And also, they want to show their individuality. They don't want to conform with others. So that's why they're more interested in the unique brands, not these household names. So to us, we have to change our editorial style and our material to tailor to their needs.
The team are active in promoting their magazine online, finding innovative ways of getting their material read.
I'm just 22. Maybe I'm the youngest fashion editor.
I think I was born to do the job. I think it's a wonderful job.
They stay in the front line of the fashion industry, so they pick up the trend and the news very quickly. So he is the future of this business.
Yes. And we also will help the local designers, not just the luxury brands. I will cooperate and promote their collections, their new collections, the local designers. Because we are in a fashion magazine, we can do some things to help them.
You know, that's the excitement about being in China right now, because every day it's different. And probably after 5 years, there will be a big change. In 10 years, there will be a huge, dramatic change. So it's very exciting.
I've traveled from Shanghai to Beijing to join a group of readers who want to talk to me about their reading habits. And again, I'm finding that things are changing.
People have the choice of looking for all the news they need from the mobile phone. You know, by using a mobile phone, you can get a lot of information that you need. So frankly, I don't know, you know, how the magazines or newspapers make a living in today's business environment if they want to make money.
Other family members, do they into the internet magazine or what kind of magazine?
You know, my wife and my daughter, you know, love to buy, you know, really old fashioned magazines, you know, 5 years ago, even 10 years ago. But nowadays, they just check all the information, you know, even words or pictures on the mobile phone.
If I buy a physical magazine, I buy it for job. If I read some online magazines, I read it for fun. For example, I will buy the Harvard Business Review for my job because I'm an HR and there are many HR-related articles in this magazine. And it will cost about 50 RMB for one magazine. So these physical ones is for job. And for fun, I will read some articles from WeChat, you know, such like Mi Meng, the biggest Wanghong in China. Yeah, her article will publish about every day, and there will maybe more than 1 million readers to read it every day. So it's quite a popular online magazine for me.
So she just introduced the paid magazine online. So if it's like professional content, people are still willing to pay even the one article from the one magazine. And she also mentioned there's some very popular writers. So in Chinese, it's called Wang Hong, literally means internet red, but which indicates that's very popular among people. And people just follow them and got millions of readership of everyday articles. So that is, I think, daily life reading.
Nowadays, for the young people, you know, China, we have a policy called one child only. Yeah, that's why I think I'm the one of it. So I think it's quite lonely for my daily life after work or after social life. I think I'm quite lonely, so I will always check the WeChat and see some articles like the common things. We will discuss it. Yeah, and I think this is what we call the interaction.
So it's more about like two-way communication. Traditional magazine, you just read it, there's no feedback. But online, you can like it or you can make your comment or even give tips. So it's more welcoming, encouraging readers to participate the whole process of the reading experience of magazine.
On the internet, you will read all those articles. It's more like you self-responsible, you know, you're self-sponsored and everybody can express what they are thinking. When a magazine is printed, the writer should be more serious. They will be responsible to whatever they said. So that's very, very important. When you open this kind of paper magazine, you read it, it's printed. It cannot be canceled. It cannot be, you know, drawback. So this writer will be really, really serious about whatever they say.
One of the reasons why I stopped buying magazines because I found that one magazine has 20 or 30 articles, but I can't finish it maybe three months. So I want to ask the first question is, did you really read every articles of every magazine?
Yeah, okay, that's it.
Okay, because I
pretty much read every single page of the magazine.
Sometimes we'll buy some fashion magazines like Vogue or Really as well, and I will buy maybe a huge of it, maybe, yeah, 20s.
Oh, decoration.
Yeah, decoration. Yeah. It's quite useful. We put it in like a stage, and we use it as a desk maybe sometimes, or maybe sometimes it's,
So it's because it's very, very nice design, so... Yeah. So it's like even it's quite cheap for some cheap. Really nice
exactly.
Decoration.
Okay. Plus the money as well.
Will magazines in China become accessories, left around on coffee tables to decorate the homes of well-off families, or do they have a more significant future? The printed versions are certainly facing many challenges, from losing readership to close scrutiny by the Chinese government. To find one place,
which is looking positively about the future, I'm heading to a quiet suburb of Beijing to visit a very specialized coffee shop, where magazines from all over the world line the shelves. And they are not just decoration, they are being read.
目前在北京并不多，因为其实我从事
So Miss Yan just told me that actually there's not many place like this. It's quite a small number of the bookshop that where you can find foreign magazines, the latest issues. There's several challenges. For example, in China, there's of course the limits that whether you can sell those magazines and a lot of the control of it. So, but he comes from the background of the design and the publication background, so he had been in this field for more than 10 years, so he definitely have these links and networks that which would really help him to introduce these nice magazines or books for Chinese readers. And also the idea of this bookshop is not only for the professionals that allow them to catch up the newest trend, but also for ordinary Chinese readers that you just enter this bookshop and maybe in some ways it will improve your taste, so you have some idea of the better lifestyle. So that is really his wish for this bookshop.
因为我们的定位的原因，所以我们这边汇集了很多。
He just told me that actually, it's become the same place for people who love paper magazine, and they will come here to read paper magazine regularly. And some professionals, they saw that how wonderful magazine can be, and he told me some of them even thinking about to set up their own magazine, but of course it's very difficult, especially nowadays China, everybody go for internet, and maybe it's easier to get like first or second issue and then you just can't continue. But still, he think people see this place of the hope. Let me show you how wonderful magazine can be.
And that was Xinwen Wang looking at the magazine market in Chongqing and how it's actually changing the way people receive content. If you would like to let us know what you think of the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is focus@pcjmedia.com. Once again, focus@pcjmedia.com. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, take care. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.